Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Reels enter 2024 as a TV periscope on true law enforcement and true crime. What's ahead for this channel? Senior Vice President of Programming Steve Cheskin details when he joins me next. Also ahead, Roku intros a black culture channel, our classic trivia question, and a new generation of scripted, family-suitable nature storytelling. That's something I'd like to see. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and 44 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour today is brought to you by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. We welcome you on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. We are an hour later than usual. We'll explain why shortly. We have a wonderful guest for you throughout this 60 minutes ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program, wherever you may be. So give us a call. How do you do that? You pick up the phone, you dial in, and when you do, use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us throughout the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. You can also be involved with our chat room, SimonApple04. That's the room, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you interact with us. And we will have our interaction with Steve Cheskin of Reels at the bottom of the hour. He'll join us live from outside Washington, D.C. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Before we do that, as we usually do, we will start the program with news notes. At least two new original-centric channels are up and running today. One is Manza Mix, devoted to African and black culture domestically and globally. Roku is the first smart TV product to distribute this ad-supported service, with Manza supplying content from its collection of 2,000 hours film and television series assembled over the last year. Manza, co-founded by actors David Oyelowo, Nate Parker, and Chike Onwuakpo, has raised $9 million in funding from various sources and produced Baseline, a scripted miniseries executive produced by former NBA star Derek Harper last July. Roku, Amazon Fire TV, and various multi-channel bundles carried that program. Separately, Earth Day 365 raised the curtain on its environment-minded service over multi-channel bundle Pluto TV. Series, specials, and IMAX films with feature on this ad-supported channel, organized by K2 Studios, with former Baywatch co-star Pamela Anderson and son Brandon Thomas Lee among the stakeholders. Co-founders and managing partners Ryan and Mark Pressler will be the lead guests on this program tomorrow afternoon. 3 years after his last live-action turn in a series of miniseries wrapped, Michael Douglas will be back on the tube April 12th. The role will be Benjamin Franklin in Franklin, Apple TV Plus's long-time historical epic based on a Pulitzer Prize-winning book. This miniseries focuses on Franklin's secret mission to France amid the American Revolution. Douglas also has an off-camera role as executive producer. Franklin was one of several premiere and new series announcements Apple TV Plus made this morning at the opening of the TV Critics Association's annual winter meeting in Los Angeles. We will have more news from that event as the week unfolds. Now, quickies, Outlander's prequel series, The Stars, Blood of My Blood, started filming in Scotland earlier today. Back here in the U.S., Cobra Kai resumed production of its sixth and final Netflix season. Eat the Cat, the makers of Chucky on USA and Sci-Fi, are exploring creation of a television series take on Cape Fear, 1960s suspense flick classic, co-starring Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum. Star Trek Picard received the Saturn Award as Best Science Fiction TV Series last night. Other genre series winners included Superman and Lois, The Last of Us, Wednesday, Andor, and Outlander. Cox Media's television stations in 9 cities are off DirecTV this afternoon, thanks to a new unresolved carriage dispute. Peacock will play a Stormy Daniels documentary special March 18th. Emmy nominee Sarah Gibson is the producer-director, with Judd Apatow as executive producer. And the universe of journalists covering television are reflecting on the life of Don West, former primary editor of Broadcasting and Cable Magazine. West passed away yesterday in Arlington, Virginia at age 94. We'll have more on West's accomplishments in TV coverage later this half hour. And that is news notes for today. In a moment, something I'd like to see, the idea of having a new generation of nature storytelling that's wonderful, scripted, and family-friendly. We'll get to that after we get to this message from our good friends at Sun and Swell. If you don't know by now, Sun and Swell is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients like broiled oats or trail mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, nuts, and mango. Venezuela has already received more than 1,000 five-star reviews on Apple. And if you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, I suggest you shop Sun and Swell. And when you do, you get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunswellfoods.com, and use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's, remember, 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISE at sunandswellfoods.com. Remember, it's the online grocery that offers a world of delicious snacks, pantry faves, anytime. As I mentioned, originally our program was going to be 2 hours today, and for most of that first hour, we were going to be speaking with Tyler Cooper. He is the co-founder and chief executive officer of The Take. It is an artificial intelligence technology venture that is trying to work with various smart TV sets and devices to present interactive TV applications to you. They are currently working with LG and Telly. We found out about Tyler and his venture last week during a Television Nation video done with Tracy Swedlow, who was our guest on this program last Friday. Tyler was scheduled to be with us during the first hour, and unfortunately overnight we learned that he developed stomach flu, so he was not in shape to be with us today. We are rescheduling him either for later this week or for sometime next week, and I promise you that when you hear him, I think you'll be very intrigued by what he has to say about how his venture, The Take, is dealing with artificial intelligence as a way to get new interactive applications through you, through smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Also, I want you to know that we are doing at least 3 episodes this week, today, tomorrow, and on Friday. And I want you to know that our guest tomorrow, as we just mentioned, will be the co-founders and managing partners of the new network Earth Day 365, which premiered earlier today on Pluto TV. That's Ryan and Mark Kresser. We're also going to have the Emmy-winning executive producer and documentary director, Patricia Gillespie. Her latest work premieres tomorrow on Max. It's called They Called Him Mostly Harmless. It's a very interesting true crime tale. So all that will be coming your way at our regular time period tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And coming your way on Friday, the other person that was scheduled to be with us last Friday and couldn't because of this person's health condition, that's Kane Lee, the executive producer of the new Paramount animated Toon movie, The Tigers of Prince. It premiered last Friday to great reviews. Some people think that it would be a very good sequel and a very good TV series that could be taken from that movie. And I'm very happy to tell you that Kane Lee will be with us this Friday on our program. Again, our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern and noon Pacific. And I also want to let you know that we are trying to doubly confirm another possible guest as our lead guest for that episode on Friday. And I promise you that we will we will announce that on our show tomorrow. When you hear who it is, I think you'll be really, really delighted. I think it's one of the best guests we have had program in a very, very long time in terms of notoriety. So stay tuned for that announcement tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Also, there is a possibility that we may do a fourth episode at an earlier time on Thursday. That's Thursday, February 8th. Again, we hope to let you know tomorrow about that as well. So at least 3 episodes this week, maybe 4. Just wait and see. And hear about it starting tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, on tomorrow, be televised. Now time for a regular feature that we do every now and then called Something I'd Like to See. This is when I do a little riff on something I'd like to see television do, whether it's something I get inspired by or something that I find hasn't been done on television in a very long time, or just something that maybe one of you people out there suggests to me by email or by social media. And today, this particular Something I'd Like to See was inspired by the launch today of Earth Day 365, which was on Pluto TV, the one of the first multi-channel bundles to score and score big. And it made me remind myself of how I watched TV growing up. For many, many for quite a few decades, 1950s, 60s, early 70s, one of the big genres of television was the family-friendly animal series, scripted, like A Boy and His Pet, or A Family and Their Pet, or a group of people who were in a very unique environment somewhere in the world. In the 1950s, for example, we had Lassie, you know, the classic boy and his dog tale, based on the famous movies, ran for over 20 years. There was Fury, about a boy, his family, and their pet horse, Fury, ran for 5 years and was shot on location. There was also shows like Assignment Underwater and Sea Hunt that focused on the underwater world, and in some cases, some of the first TV series dealing with efforts to destroy their environment. And in the 1960s, the whole, you know, family and animal genre really bust open with shows like General Ben, Flipper, other dog shows like The Littlest Hobo and Primus, Cowboy in Africa, and Doctari. The whole idea of shows, scripted shows set in nature and often trying to deal with how we preserve the environment, how we make the environment for animals and us better. There was Black Beauty, which ran for two seasons in syndication, a British show that did very well. It's just a wonderful actress named Judy Bowker in the major starring role opposite that great horse, Black Beauty, based on the classic novel. Well, since that time, there have been very, very few shows, especially shows produced in the United States, dealing in scripted form with our relationship to animals and our relationship to nature. We did have the revival of Lassie, with the new Lassie, with John Provost, Timmy All Grown Up. There was also Flipper that ran, I think, two or three seasons in syndication. There was also The Adventures of the Black Stallion, which ran for four seasons on the Family Channel, with Mickey Rooney reprising his Oscar-nominated role as the trainer of that wonderful stallion, based on the Walter Pauly books and the classic movie that was executive produced by Francis Ford Coppola, with the great cinematography by Caleb Deschanel. He should have won, in my opinion, an Oscar for his work on that great, great movie. And on the British side, there was All Creatures Great and Small, a very popular series that was syndicated to public television stations for a while, and now the new version of it has been running for several seasons on Masterpiece. And in Canada, there were shows like Danger Bay that was picked up by, and The Beachcombers. Danger Bay was picked up by the Family Channel for several seasons. There was the revival of The Littlest Hobo. And then on Saturday mornings in the 70s, early 80s, there was Run, Joe, Run, and Here's Boomer on NBC. And really, since the start of the millennium, there really hasn't been much, at least shows produced in the United States. And for me, I think that's a shame, because more than ever, I really believe that we need a whole new generation of scripted television shows that deal with our relationship to the environment, our relationship to the animal kingdom, our relationship to our pets, and how we can take better care of them, and how they can, in some ways, take better care of us. I would love to see somebody revive A Cowboy in Africa, or to revive a Doctari, or to do a new spin on that series, or to do other, like, boy, girl, and their favorite pets, or their favorite animals that they love being around, as was the case with General Ben. And I certainly would like to see some original shows that use some of the best scriptwriters and series creators and producers and directors that we have, and some of the best ways of filming, now using drone cameras and GoPro cameras and so forth, to really get a wonderful scripted up-close environment, if you will. I'd love to see it happen, and I really believe that it's time for this kind of generational revival here. And we got the networks for it. Obviously, it could be done on the general entertainment cable networks, the general entertainment broadcast and channels that run on smart TV sets and smart devices. And why not a venture like Curiosity Stream or Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or Earth Day 365? Or EarthX TV, whose people we've had on the show a time or two. We sometimes hear that they are looking to do scripted television, or even a venture like NASA Plus, the Netflix from NASA, to do a scripted television series about our relationship to space and make it family-friendly. I really believe that it could be something really special for television to bring that kind of TV back. If you see the episodes of Lassie or Fury on YouTube or Sea Hunt, these weren't slapdash productions, folks. These were shows that had a lot of great care. I watched Sea Hunt from time to time. I watched it when it was around in the early 60s with Lloyd Bridges. And it was a groundbreaker in terms of underwater black and white cinematography, thanks to the work of Lamar Boren and Riku Browning. That's right, the Rico Browning, who was the creature from the Black Lagoon. He wore that suit in that classic horror film. He, by the way, later went on to create Flipper and be one of its key producers in terms of the underwater sequences. So you had really talented people doing these shows and talented producers like Ivan Tors, who would do Sea Hunt and did Flipper and did Cowboy in Africa and did Daktari and General Ben. You always counted him to do really super productions, well-produced, well-filmed, well-edited, good music scores, because they really respected their audience. They respected their kids. They respected the children and parents who were watching week after week. There's no reason in my book why we can't have that again, why we can't create a whole generation of new shows and even revive some of these shows to find a new audience, to find an audience that is more tuned than ever with what's going on in the environment, what's going on with climate, and how we can make the world better and do it in a way that doesn't talk down to kids and doesn't talk down to parents or families. So that's something I'd like to see, this whole new generation of original scripted television that takes a contemporary look at our relationship to wildlife, our relationship to the environment, our relationship to how we can make it better for everybody. And that's something I'd like to see. And I'd love to hear what you think. You can call me right now if you like. Here's the phone number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Again, that number is good anywhere you catch us from the country around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Or you get into our chat room and post your thought there. It's SimonApple04, and you will find it at our homepage, SimonApple, at blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And incidentally, we will, when we have our first interview tomorrow with Ryan and Mark Kressler from Earth Day 365, we'll find out from them if they are planning to do any interesting shows, dealing scripted shows, dealing with the relationship of us humans to animals and the environment. You notice I didn't mention Baywatch or shows like that. Baywatch was more of a home of a beach-bound show as opposed to doing a lot of stuff totally underwater and doing a lot with animals, nature, environment. So although it did have some episodes dealing with the preservation of the environment, of beaches, of soil, and so on and so forth in dramatic form. So for those of you that are wondering why wasn't Baywatch there, why wasn't other shows like that there, that's why, okay? So more beach-bound, more land-bound, as opposed to more super environment. So anyway, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Put your thoughts in the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And whatever you like, we'll ask those questions to our guests tomorrow at our regular time from Earth Day 365, Ryan and Mark Kressler. By the way, congratulations to both them and also the folks from Mansa, M-A-N-S-A, for creating their new channel, which is premiering today on Roku and hopefully will be on other smart TV sets and smart TV devices before too long. In our news notes, I mentioned that a lot of people in my field, the field of covering television, are taking time today to commemorate, to reflect, to grieve at the loss of one of the very best in that profession, that very special profession, Don West. Don, for many years, was the key editor at Broadcasting Magazine, then Broadcasting and Cable. He got that role, succeeding the founder of that Bible of television reporting, if you will, Sol Tyshoff. Sol was the man that created that magazine, presided over it for so many years as editor and publisher, one of the great geniuses, one of the great, television journalists, television iconic people who really made the medium. And Don West succeeded him beautifully out of Washington, D.C. Don was somebody who, as a journalist, you could trust to tell a story or to keep a story quiet until it needed to be told. He was someone that believed in quality journalism all the way, that when you went on a story, you covered it fully, you covered it completely, you were objective, not subjective, and you gave everybody their due. That was the kind of journalist that Don West was, not just at one point in his career, but throughout his career. And any of the great legends of television will tell you that he was the best. He was the first prize, the gold standard, if you will, of how you edit a trade magazine covering a field, television or any field. Don won, and his magazine won many awards for their reporting over the decades. At one point, Don was hired by CBS to work with them on their programming out of Washington, D.C. He did that for half a decade and then came back to broadcasting, where he guided the magazine into a bunch of new eras, the Internet era, the era of smart TV sets and smart devices, the early part of that, as well as the era of becoming broadcasting cable magazine, and also merging it ultimately with multi-channel news. Don was in on all of that. He incidentally left his role and his run with Broadcasting Cable Magazine at the start of the millennium in 2001. And he later on helped get the Giants of American Broadcasting Awards, the annual ceremony, together. And later on in 2015, he was one of the winners of that prestigious honor that's held every year. I didn't get a chance to know Don that much, even when I was for a while writing for Multichannel News. But I did see him at a number of trade events, paid conferences, seminars, conventions, and he was always on the move, always busy, always looking for stories, always inquisitive, always talking and having conversations with the best in the business, the best writers, producers, directors, editors, executives. Don had a big Rolodex, maybe one of the biggest of any trade journalist. And he knew who to call to confirm a story. He knew who to call to find if somebody denied a story and to say it was true or not. He was as inquisitive as anybody I know in the field of television. And 99.9999% of the time, Don was on the money with his writing, his wonderful team of journalists, in fleshing out a story, fleshing out an issue, fleshing out substance, and never being stylistic about it. Always substance. That's what mattered to Don, and mattered to him all the way. And a lot of the people tell you that his background in local reporting really was the forerunner of what he would do with Broadcasting Magazine, later Broadcasting Cable. And incidentally, I would love to hear, while we wait for our next guest at the bottom of the hour, if we have any people listening who worked with Don or who knew Don at Broadcasting Cable, here's your chance to speak up and reminisce. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. I will always remember Don as somebody who was always thoughtful, always engaging, never shied away from a controversy, always tried to treat people with fairness and with firmness, and always had great respect for the people making television happen, whether they were an underling or an overling. That's the kind of person Don West was. And that's hopefully the kind of person that people today and in days to come will remember him. I'm sure that at some point there will be a memorial ceremony here in Washington, D.C., and in New York as well. And people will remember Don, really, for being the very special human being who forwarded a very special magazine into great new horizons and fulfilling on those horizons throughout his career and beyond. And there are a lot of good people who still work today at Broadcasting Cable and other trade publications, Hollywood Reporter, Variety, Deadline, TV News Check, et cetera, who got their break in covering this medium through Don West and his time at Broadcasting and Cable. We will miss you. I'll miss you. Thank you for all the great work and all the way that you handled covering this medium. You made it the better. You made journalism for the medium the better, and it will stay the better thanks to you. Rest in peace, Don. I'm sure Don is already talking to the stars and the executives up there, including Frank Stanton, the former CBS president, who at one point publicly stated that Don was the best of the best in terms of somebody he could have confidence in and somebody who could he could say anything about anything about and know that it would be treated fairly. Don West passed away yesterday in Arlington, Virginia at the age of 94. Again, he will be missed and missed greatly by people in and out of the magazine he guided for so many years, broadcasting, the Broadcasting Cable Magazine, and of the industry he loved to cover and loved so, so well. For those of you who came in late, I want to remind you that we are going to be on at least three times this week, today, tomorrow, and Friday. Tomorrow and Friday, we will be on our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Again, joining us tomorrow, we'll have the co-founders and managing partners of the new environmental network that launched earlier today on Pluto TV, Earth Day 365, Ryan and Mark Kressler. And we will have Emmy Award-winning executive producer and documentary director Patricia Gillespie. Her latest work premieres tomorrow on Max. It's a special called They Called Him Mostly Harmless. And on Friday, we will have, for sure, the executive producer of the new Paramount Plus hit tune movie, The Tiger's Apprentice, Kane Lee. And tomorrow, we hope to announce who will be our lead guest that day. I promise you, it could be a very, very special guest. So be sure to be with us. That's tomorrow and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. We also hope tomorrow to bring you news that we will have another edition for you at an earlier hour, probably an hour earlier than normal, on Thursday. And I promise you, if we do that, we will have very special guests for that episode coming your way. And I want to remind you that always, if you come in late on the program or if you miss a program, we remind you that we're available 24/7 at blogtalkradio.com/televised. That is our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And you can check us out anytime at our website, tomorrowwilbetelevised.com, put together by the great people at On Podium. And we're also available 24/7 at 45 wonderful podcast platforms. Everybody from the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, we're on Amazon Music, we're on Audible, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, as well as Acast, Zencastr. I talked to them earlier today. Wonderful podcast service. Anytime Player, Podcast Wise, so many, many more. So there's a podcast site near you that takes our program. And if there is a podcast site you like that doesn't take our program, please let me know. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or X or Twitter. Let me know who to contact. You can also contact them, too. Let them know about our program. Be nice about it. Don't be critical. Don't be, you know, yell and scream. Let them know that I'd love to speak with them, and let's make something happen. Some of our podcast affiliates got to be our affiliates because of that. So let us know. And if you listen to us on podcast, I'd like to invite you to listen to us live. That way you can interact with our guests. And if, by the way, if you're not at home, you're at the office or driving, whatever, you need to pull aside the road, and you have your smartphone, whatever, check us out, blogtalkradio.com, streamer.com, tune.com. Check us out. When you go to blogtalkradio.com, wherever you are, you go scroll it down, the category listing at the home screen, the entertainment, then you look for our Tomorrow Be Televised logo, click in, and you're there. And that way you can interact with our guests by phone or chat. We do appreciate it, okay? So do so. And, of course, all the very best. And as always, we love hearing from you. You really do make the show work. So whether you listen to us live or on podcast, I'd love to hear what you think about the program. I'd love to hear what you think about our guests and topics, what you think about TV overall. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, or X at actually Twitter is at UBCSimonWBT. You can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. That's all you need to do. And by the way, you can also, when you go to our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, use the special chat function at the bottom of the home screen. If you have a question about TV, question about yours truly, put it there. If we use your thought on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. And you can also use simonapple04@yahoo.com to suggest a possibility for our ongoing feature, A Show to Know. Remember, if there's a TV show you like that you think doesn't get enough attention, we want to give it the attention, so let's hear from you. Give us the name of the show, when it's on, why you like it so much, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit, nobody else. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Coming up in our next half hour, Steve Cheskin, the Senior Vice President of Performing at Reels. What are they up to now, and what are they expected to be up to before this year is out and beyond? We'll talk to him live from Silver Spring, Maryland. Plus, our classic trivia question of the week, second week we're offering the question, 7 prize in play. Get your think taps on. You could still be our first Tomorrow Be Televised trivia winner of 2024. All that coming away after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. One of BTR's best shows comes your way early tonight. It's the Miracle Man Show. You can catch it today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. That's the Miracle Man Show, fun radio for you today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best BTR 24/7 on YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of this Tomorrow Be Televised Hour, coming your way live from New Haven, New York. And this half hour is brought to you by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating. Time now, I'm on with you along for the ride on this Monday afternoon. First of at least three episodes we are doing this week. Again, we're doing today's episode an hour later than our normal hour. We'll be back at our regular hour tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we welcome those who are just joining us at the bottom of the hour. 45 degrees, very sunny skies this week here in the New York metro area. We're expecting temperatures to rise to 50 and maybe beyond by Thursday and stay that way for the upcoming weekend. And if you have a question or comment for our next guest, don't be shy. Put it in the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. And now joining us live from Silver Spring, Maryland, the Senior Vice President of Plumbing at Reels, the channel that brings you all sorts of shows about celebrities, true law enforcement, true crime, Steve Kreskin. Steve, good afternoon to you. Welcome in.
Hey, Simon. How are you?
Very, very fine. Thank you. Any thoughts, by the way, you have about Don West and his career with broadcasting?
It was just incredible. It's a big loss. Quite many accomplishments in his lifetime.
Really one of the great ones. One of the great, great editor journalisms, not just of television trade journalism, but all trade journalism. He was somebody that really respected the art, respected people doing the art, and you could count on him and his staff to provide really quality journalism. Journalism that was fair, that was expansive, and wouldn't let go in terms of a controversial issue.
Yeah, totally agree.
So, Steve, Reels, the network you're at, has gone through all sorts of permutations over its existence. Where's it at now in 2024?
Well, based on the success of On Patrol Live, which is just this incredible, huge hit, I've had been involved with many hit shows over the years, and this one is, to me, the biggest of all, just incredibly successful. And so around that, we're really building a network where there's a lot of shows focusing on law enforcement. I think that's distinctive from crime. Obviously, law enforcement goes after criminals often, but I think it's a little bit different focus and approach that we're taking on it. So based on the hit show of On Patrol Live, we're acquiring and developing new ideas around that series.
On Patrol Live, for those who don't know, is the revised and expanded, upgraded version of Live PD, which for a number of years was one of A&E Network's most popular shows. It had spinoffs. Then came the whole issue with George Floyd and everything else in 2020. Now it's back. What do people think about the show now? What kind of viewer reaction are you getting?
We're getting an incredible response. I mean, one of my favorite things to do during the course of the show is to follow it on social media and just see all of the response happening live because, again, On Patrol Live, the show is live, and that's what makes it really exciting is that anything can happen during the course of the show. So watching viewers react to it is incredible. And then just you can tell how many people are watching because, of course, every night we get ratings. And just as an example, the last weekend when we have the official ratings, which would be Friday, January 26th and 27th, during the time that it was on, so Friday and Saturday night, 9 to 12, Eastern, it was the number one show in all of cable television, which is not unusual for the show. And in fact, on both of those nights, we beat two different broadcast networks, each of them as well as being number one on cable television. So when you're number one, that's, and sometimes by a large margin too, that's pretty amazing. So the audience reaction for the show has just been phenomenal.
And what kind of reaction are you getting from the law enforcement community itself?
Very positive, very positive. I mean, each week there is, you know, a number of different departments that are on, and we rotate so that some have arrests and new ones come on. And, you know, I think we portray the police fairly, and I think they appreciate that. And, they've been very cooperative with the program.
Mm-hmm. And you already have a spinoff. You've got First Sight, which is on before On Patrol goes online.
Yes, the First Shift. So what it does, right, it's on the hour before from 8 to 9 Eastern time on Friday and Saturday night, and that's also very successful as well. And often our hosts take a look at what might have happened previously on the show and talk about what's coming up tonight, and then we show some highlights from previous weeks as well.
Mm. So you got First Shift, you've got On Patrol Live. Are there any plans to do additional spinoffs or follow-ups?
We've talked about a number of different ideas. I mean, there's many elements inside the show that could potentially be spun off onto itself, and the production company Big Fish, who's outstanding at doing this kind of programming, they've got a number of ideas, and we've been pitched ideas that aren't spinoffs from this particular program, but, ideas that fit appropriately with the nature of On Patrol Live. So, yes, there's many conversations around it, nothing that we can announce at this time or that, there's a deal for right now, but many conversations around that.
Now, last night, you had a special on called 101 Near Misses. Talk about the making of that and how long you thought about doing this kind of a special that deals with all sorts of near misses that could happen anytime, any place.
Yeah, I mean, that was a show that when I saw it for the first time, it's like one wow moment after another, right? So I'll be really interested to see. We premiered it last night because it was the week between the AFC and NFC championships and the Super Bowl, which usually is a very good night to, premiere new programs without having football against it. And so we haven't seen the ratings yet to see how it did, but I'm very hopeful for it. And, again, if you put something like that on, it was a one-off and it's successful, potentially you can make new episodes and series out of it. But it's a crazy show when you watch it, that just all these different things that have happened. Near misses obviously mean that something almost happened, but it was really close. And when you watch it, you're like, holy cow, hitting your head, your head with your forehead, arm with your fist kind of thing of like, wow.
Yeah, it's sort of the all these what is the commonality with all these incidents is it's like almost the wrong person at the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's right.
Is this example of how programming comes your way? Is this an example of your development team coming up with the programming, or with, let's say, an independent producer coming your way and says, Steve, I've got this wonderful idea, check it out?
Yeah, it can really work both ways. I've been at Reels now for 10 years, and during the course of that time, many ideas. We've worked with many different producers from U.S., U.K., Canada, other places, and often they'll come to us and pitch us ideas because they understand what the network is and they have ideas that would be appropriate for the network. And sometimes, we've got an idea internally that also, we might go to a producer that we think would be good for that particular subject and go to them and say, hey, can you develop this idea? And those have made our network as well. And we also do acquisitions. So programs that have also run in other places where we think are appropriate for our network, and we run those. Like, as an example, we run Cops right now, and that has done really well for us. And potentially other ones, we could try something out that is an acquisition, meaning we acquired it, we didn't develop it ourselves, and potentially do future episodes original, develop it off of that.
Mm-hmm. As you've been involved with Reels for the last decade, how has the identity evolved? And I'm going back to the second question I asked, which is, in this year, how do you define Reels compared to what it was when you started?
Oh, it's so different. It's so different. So when I started, there were off-network series like Cheers and Wings. There was original production studio shows that were going on that mostly discussed movies, and we also ran some movies. And then, my background was I had worked at Discovery and TLC for a couple of decades, Travel Channel, WeTV, and I was used to producing more documentary-type programming. So we tried some out, and they did really well for us, and they're cost-efficient for the delivery of the audience that you get, and it's a quality audience that you get with that kind of programming. And so we started to do that, and it was kind of a mixture of celebrity-driven and also crime. And, you know, there was a little bit of crossover where celebrity crosses over into crime, but there's really not that much of it. So we did expand beyond that and do some shows that were also more focused on crime. It was really real stories, real people, real stories, whether it be celebrities and sometimes not, but predominantly celebrity-driven, and even infamous, right? So like our fast channels, famous and infamous, right? Because many of the people, whether it be serial killers or just other people that became very famous because of something bad that they did, also are famous, right? Which kind of celebrity in some ways. So we got to there. And then, like I said, we acquired Cops, and that did really well for us, and Jail, and that did really well for us. And then we had this opportunity where producers came to us, Big Fish, and had an idea for a format on Patrol Live. And we were really interested in it because we knew that kind of programming worked and had been and was successful and was working for us as well. And so they came in and pitched that idea, and we developed it together. And, you know, went on the air last year and became a huge hit immediately. So that's kind of – so around that, now with this huge hit, we said, let's focus on that genre and build around that. And that's the direction that we're headed this year, more in terms of the law enforcement-type programming.
Reels, R-E-E-L-Z, is available on cable networks, or cable is a cable network, but it's also running on cable systems, on satellite, on smart TV sets and devices, as well as multi-channel bundles as well. We've got Steve Cheskin. He is the Senior Vice President of Programming there. He joins us live this half hour from Silver Spring, Maryland, outside Washington, D.C., on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Avon with you along for the ride from New York, where it's 45 degrees at the bottom of the hour. And in a moment, we're going to talk about the next big series coming up from Reels Challenge. It premieres the night after the Super Bowl. It's called Killer Performances. Wait till you hear all about it. If you have a question or comment for Steve, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be back at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Joining us will be the co-founders and managing partners of the new network, Earth Day 365, now running on Pluto TV, the multi-channel bundle, Ryan and Mark Kresser. Plus, Emmy Award-winning executive producer and documentary director Patricia Gillespie. Her latest work premieres tomorrow on Max. It's a special called They Called Him Mostly Harmless. I'm hearing a lot of good things about that. That's all tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So, Steve, night after the Super Bowl, you got a new series coming out, and there's quite a bit of interest in it called Killer Performances. Explain what that's all about.
Yep. Hey, Simon, I just want to add one thing, which when you're talking about where that people can watch us, is that we're also on Peacock. And if you look at Peacock, you can find channels that are there, and they actually carry Reels as well. So that's another way to watch Reels is on Peacock. So I just want to mention that. So let's talk about Killer Performance. So Killer Performance looks at a number of different killers, some of them like Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy, who were serial killers. People who killed family members like Chris Watts and Drew Peterson, who killed apparently a number of wives, and a couple of other ones. And we've got six new episodes running two a week on Monday nights from 9 to 11 Eastern time. And what it does is look at these killers and then how they behaved after they committed their crime. And so it looks at, again, how the police eventually come to the conclusion that this is the killer and how they catch them. There's also experts in the program. There's three experts in each of the programs that are behavioral analysts. They kind of call them like human lie detectors. And they examine footage of the killer after the time that they have performed their crime, up until the time that they've been essentially convicted of their crime, and looks at that footage and kind of points out like how you can tell that they are lying, thus the name Killer Performance, right? They're killers, and this is their performance in front of the cameras or in front of the police, because you also see interrogation room footage as well, and you see them talking to the police and the police asking the questions, and you can see their actions, their behavior, how they speak to the police or to the media, and these experts point out like here's how you can tell the lie and what they're doing, and eventually, and the police know that too, right? And that's how they're eventually caught and convicted.
How do you get hold of that footage in the first place? Do you have to go through a lot of hoops with local courts or with institutions, to police organizations, et cetera, to get that footage?
Well, we, of course, leave that to the production company to do that work, but you're right. It's a lot of work to track it all down. But, you know, most of it has been seen because, again, these are all pretty famous cases. And so they do a lot of research and they go to the proper places to get the footage and then edit it, you know, and put it into the program. So, yeah, I mean, most of these kinds of shows, that's what's happening to acquire the footage, because if you don't have that archival footage of seeing the, whether it be in this case a criminal or when you're doing celebrity footage, whatever it might be, right, you want that footage because it just makes the program so much better having those visuals.
And when we're talking about killers, we are talking about notorious people like Ted Bundy and John Wayne Gacy and Duke Peterson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Incidentally, do the experts use polygraph tests, either tests that these people did at some point, if they did, to help determine whether they are lying or not?
That's not part of it. This is more watching their behavior. Like I said, it's behavioral analysis. So it's more about how they speak, their mannerism, you know, what their hands are doing as they speak, their eyes, how they're moving. They really break down that behavior of the killer in this particular program, right, and talk about, like, this is how you can see that they're lying, these movements that they're doing, the way they're talking, the things that they say, the way their hands are moving. All of those kinds of things add up to, they point it out as the program's going on, and also they're interviewing prosecutors and police, and they'll say the same thing. You know, well, when we were interrogating them, you know, we noticed blah, blah, you know, this, this, and this, and that really made us suspicious of that person.
Mm-hmm. How are the experts assembled to do this?
Well, they found people. So Monster Films in the UK is the production company for this particular program, and so they researched who would be really good to be able to do this kind of analysis, and they reached out and, you know, essentially booked them into the program to be the experts and talk about how they could tell the lying behavior of the criminals.
Again, the program is called Killer Performance. It will premiere the night after the Super Bowl. That's Monday, February 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern. That is 6 p.m. Pacific on Reels. That's R-E-E-L-Z. That, again, is running on cable systems, on satellite, on Peacock, the mega content service from NBC Universal, also on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. In a moment, we'll find out what's coming from Reels for the rest of this year and beyond in terms of major series and specials. With Steve Cheskin, that's the network's senior vice president of filming, joining us live from Silver Spring, Maryland, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment, I'm meeting this with Steve. Don't be shy. Call in 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Coming up before we leave you at the top of the hour, our latest classic trivia question, 7 prizes in play, including the 2024 American Express pocket calendar, if you are first with the correct answer. Stay tuned for that coming up shortly. So Steve, beyond Killer Performance, what are some of the other new series that will be premiering on your network this year?
Well, we've got some really consistency in our schedule now, which I'm really proud of. So let me just kind of talk about the different nights of the week, and we can talk about what's going there. So Killer Performance will start next Monday. Tonight, Sheriffs of El Dorado County, we recently acquired, and it's another police show that looks at El Dorado County. And we've been running it. It's on every day, Monday through Friday. We strip it during the day, and we've been trying it out in prime time. So far, it's been doing well. Just don't really have a place in the schedule for it right now to enter prime time on a regular basis. Tuesday night, Gangsters, America's Most Evil, which looks at some of the most notorious criminals, gangsters, mobsters kind of thing. We've been running on Tuesday nights, doing really well. We've been running that for a while. Wednesdays is encore performances of On Patrol Live. Thursday is Cops. Friday and Saturday is On Patrol Live, and also First Shift, as you pointed out, from 8 to 9 before On Patrol Live. Sunday is Jail, and we also try out some different things Like you pointed out, 101 near misses. Sunday night's a good night to try things out. And so that's kind of the week. So there's a lot of ongoing series there. It's really nice that we're not having to try different things out every single night of the week, that we're at the point of having so much success with the series that we have, that it's about building on that. And so we are working on new things, but of course we don't have necessarily have them contracted yet, so I can't talk about them. But there are new things planned for later on in the year. But right now we feel really good about where we are with, you know, having a hit show two nights of the week and having a really strong lineup around it.
Mm-hmm. Are there any plans to come to New York or go to Los Angeles and do an upfront event for advertisers so that more people know about what you're up to?
Well, our ad sales team schedules many upfront meetings, and, you know, they're on top of it when the upfront happens. And we've got a great team in New York and a number of offices across the country. And, yes, they do those upfront presentations for advertisers.
Mm-hmm. And at some point, if not this year down the road, is there a home for scripted in some way? Maybe a docudrama special that perhaps dramatizes a true crime situation, or maybe even a series that perhaps incorporates real footage of a situation?
You know, possibly, but like when a producer brings that up with me right now, or with Rob Schwartz, who also works in production and development with me, another senior vice president, we kind of say that right now we're not really looking for that. We've done a few things. I mean, one of the biggest hits of all time on Reels until On Patrol Live was the Kennedys miniseries that ran, the original one ran shortly before me, and then After Camelot was the sequel, which had Matthew Perry and Katie Holmes in it. And both did huge numbers for it. They were incredibly successful. But we've kind of found our sweet spot in the nonfiction documentary and live genre that we're doing right now. So I really believe in the never say never. I mean, Reels has changed and transformed over the years that I've been there, so you never know what might happen. But for the foreseeable future, I don't see that happening right now.
And we should tell you that The Kennedys was also an Emmy Award-winning miniseries for Reels, and Greg Kinnear starred as JFK, and he gave one of his best performances in that role. So, and he was also in the sequel, as you mentioned, After Camelot. Again, the name of the network is Reels, R-E-E-L-Z. You can find it in more than 50 million cable and satellite homes on DirecTV, on Spectrum, Optimum, Mediacom. It's available on the main content service Peacock, also available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. And again, the new series coming up is Killer Performance. It's on the night after the Super Bowl, February 12th. It's a Monday night, 9, 10 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. More details about the channel online, go to Reels, R-E-E-L-Z.com. That's Reels, R-E-E-L-Z.com. Steve Cheston, thank you very much for taking the time on this Monday to be with us. All the very best with all your shows, and hopefully many, many more to come as this year unfolds.
Thanks, Simon. I appreciate you having me on, and thanks to all the listeners as well.
You're very, very welcome, Steve. Take care. Have a super week.
You too.
Steve Cheston, the Senior Vice President of Reels, joining us live from outside Washington, D.C. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Our Cracker Trivia question coming your way after this message from Liquid IV. If you haven't heard, Liquid IV is a wonderful wellness routine that is easy to take, and it keeps you in hydrated shape 24/7. And you also should know that Liquid IV is a great-tasting drink mix in stick form. When you add it with water, it delivers hydration to your body faster and more efficiently than water alone. What's more, you get 5 essential vitamins, B3, 5, 6, 12, and vitamin C, plus 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks. There's 12 flavors of drink, all delicious and refreshing, like Concord Grape, Passion Fruit, and Watermelon. And there's a wonderful line of unsugar-free or sugar-free flavors like Green Grape and Peach. Liquid IV is always gluten, dairy, and soy-free. And all you got to do to get it is to go to liquidiv.com. When you order, you get 20% off using the promo code TELEVISED at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop for better hydration today. Just use the promo code TELEVISED, T-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, at liquidiv.com. That's liquidiv.com. All coming your way from Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures with real hydrating. Now time for our classic trivia question. Second and final week, we're offering the question. 7 prizes in play, including the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar, the free Redbox Movie Night from Crackle Connect, the free Uber card from AMC Networks, 2 wonderful classic CDs, Lifetime's Women in Rock, with such performances as Laura Branigan, The Pretenders, Pat Benatar, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, the Bangles, and more, and Chicago's greatest hit with super songs like If You Leave Me Now, Saturday in the Park, 25 to 6 to 4, etc. Plus, two wonderful books, Apocalypse Television. It's a book from USC professor David Craig, and it's all about how the day after that classic ABC made-for-TV movie helped end the Cold War. And Running the Show, Television Inside, by former writer-showrunner on the Emmy-winning Northern Exposure, Jeff Melbourne. He and David Craig were on this program last fall as guests. So all that can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the riverboat on Riverboat. We're talking about the name of the boat, Riverboat. That's the 1959-61 NBC series co-starring Dan McGavin and the very young Burt Reynolds. Name the riverboat on Riverboat. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your address. So if you win the prize, we get them right to you as soon as possible. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWET. By the way, if you're a previous guest or a winner of this contest, which we run every week, you are not eligible. One more time, the question, name the riverboat on Riverboat. Email me with the answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And you could be our next Classic Trivia winner. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. Thanks to Chief Tesco for being with us today, for reals, and thanks to all of you for tuning in an hour later than usual. We are back tomorrow at our regular time, 15 Eastern Pacific, with Ryan and Mark Kressler from Earth Day 365. They are the co-founders and managing partners of that venture, which launched earlier today on Pluto TV, plus Emmy-winning executive producer and documentary director Patricia Gillespie from the new Max documentary special premiering tomorrow. They called him Mostly Harmless. If you came in late on today's episode or want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our 45 wonderful podcast affiliates and our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com. Love to hear from you. What did you think about learning about Reels? What's your thoughts on where TV's at and where it's going? And if you knew Don West, we'd love to get your thoughts too. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X or Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter, at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you respond to me, I respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Cho is B-Charge General Manager. Jay Soderberg is Head of Content. Website supervised by On Podium. Guitarist Bakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Liquid IV, fueling life's adventures and your well-being with real hydrating, and by the online grocery Sun and Swell that offers a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. Back tomorrow, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our podcasts and web destinations. Whatever you are doing between now and then, make it safe, make it great, and remember, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.